Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Morning, you all right? Are you? I hope you are. I genuinely hope you are. Me? I'm a little bit bleary-eyed, to be perfectly honest. A little bit tired. I've been up essentially for something like 26 hours at this point. Stayed up more or less all night. A tiny, tiny, tiny bit of sleep. But I was down at Great Yarmouth. I'll tell you all about that later. But yeah, if I'm ever so slightly tired, looking visibly tired, it's because I am. All right. With that said, let's crack on. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
The disembodied voice of the godlike Little Harry. There you go. It is just ticked 1 minute past 8 in the AM, British summertime, on Friday. It's now Friday already. The 8th of May in the year of our Lord, 2026. Who are you? You know who you are. Well, the glorious band, The Chosen Few. My band of brothers. People watching this live, pretty much the best people on earth. Getting involved in the chat. Getting involved in our poll. We got a poll this morning, haven't we, Harry?
Yes.
Good. Tuned in to Breakfast with Bo. Formerly known as Breakfast with Bo, colloquially The Bo Show, or Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag The Real BBC. I've got to be careful about using that. Other people use that, The Real BBC, what, like Az, and them lot, you know, like Mauler and stuff. I didn't nick it off them, but genuinely, someone said Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag The Real BBC, Real BBC. I was like, that's good, I'm going to use that. They're already saying that ages before that. It looks like I nicked it off them. I didn't. But I want to say on record that I do recognise that they were already using that ages ago. So, more than one person can say it. Calm down. The Load Seaters Breakfast Club, hashtag The Real LBC. You're going to tune into LBC when you can watch The Real LBC. You're going to watch Mike Graham. Why would you? Why would anybody? Crazy thing to do. Jeremy Kyle. That's gross. Don't be gross. You're here, you're watching. Should we get on with it? Should we stop faffing about? Just stop fannying about now, Bo, and get on with what's in the corporate legacy mainstream media today. Well, the big story, of course, is the local elections. Yesterday was the voting day, the polling day. A lot of the results aren't in yet still. They'll trickle in all day today. Some are in, what, like a fifth? Not even a fifth, something like that, are in at the moment. So mostly still not in, although we've got the trends. We can see the way it's going. We'll talk all about it on the show today, of course. But it won't be till Breakfast with Bo on Monday morning that we'll be able to tell you the full unabridged picture. And the front pages of the print media, Fleet Street, they went to print last night. So they won't have any results on them. So what I'll do is, because it's the biggest story of the day, the results that are in and the patterns they reveal, I'll talk about that sort of first, I suppose, and then go back to the actual front pages. But before that even, just the overall picture that the front page is saying is official exposed to Chinese spy, just more Chinese spies, full-blown ones, not sort of allegations of, or we think maybe, or there's going to have to be a trial. No, full-blown, definite Chinese spies in Britain, in Border Force, in sort of our... And time for Starmer to stand aside, because of course, already with the results not even fully in, the knives are out. Politically, metaphorically, to stab Starmer in the back and or the front. All right, so that's the overview. as I say, the front pages don't have it. So let's just jump straight to sort of, you know, real time, up to date, show some of the results that have come in. So here we go. Here we go. There you go. It's all there. It's all right there. You see, this is how many councillors each party has got. And then the number underneath is how many they've gone up or down. Right. So at a glance, you can see Labour down 248 councillors. Reform up 339. It's VE Day, Victory in England Day for Reform UK. It is actually VE Day, but of course that's Victory in Europe, isn't it? 1945, but... okay. Victory for Reform Day. And the Lib Dems up a bit, not insignificant. Plus 35 at this point, again, with only a fraction of the results in, but this will be the trend. This will be the trend. Conservatives down significantly. 130 down. Greens up a bit. It's close to... it's not insignificant, is it? But it's not giant. And independents, at least at the moment, down a bit. I thought, some people thought, that maybe they'd be up a bit. By the end of all the results coming in, maybe they will be. By the end of all the results coming in, maybe some of these trends won't be quite exactly as they appear now, but they'll almost certainly be roughly like that. The main story is voters flooding away from Labour. That's the big story. And Conservative. Largely to Reform. Little bit to Lib Dem, little bit to Greens. That's the story. Okay. So a reworking of the political map to some degree. In terms of councillors and various forms of local governance. There's even a few mayoral elections, aren't there? And the Welsh and Scottish devolved parliaments. One thing to say behind this, which just the sheer number of councillors doesn't necessarily tell you right off the bat, is how many actual councils each of these parties control. So if you can imagine, a council is much like a very, very, very small in microcosm parliament or congress. Something like that, where there's a whole different number of very, very varying numbers of councillors. And only if you've got the majority in your party do you, quote unquote, control the council. Right? So there's one thing to have the most councillors in any given council. It's another thing to actually fully control it, i.e., when things come down to votes, if everyone turns up and votes the right way, you get what you want. So Reform could take hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, even over 1,000, even knocking 2,000 off of Labour. That doesn't necessarily mean that they will end up actually controlling loads and loads of councils. They will end up controlling quite a few. There's no doubt about that. But it seems like from sort of, you know, early polling, early suggestions, that Labour, as well as losing just an untold number, not untold, that's an exaggeration, maybe as many as 2,000, 1,500, 1,700, 1,800 councillors, they will lose control of loads of governments, loads of councils. Reform will pick up the vast majority of those councils, but won't necessarily pick up control of those councils. It's a sort of a key thing, really. Like, what is the actual reality, nature of power after all of this shakes out? It'll be Reform much more powerful on the ground, Labour much less powerful, but not like the majority of councils up and down the country controlled by Reform. That's just something to take into account, I think. Well, it is. Nonetheless, it is sort of a fairly seismic change. You know, Reform have already done reasonably well for a relatively new, relatively small party in local affairs. But now, well, they're the dominant player, aren't they? Absolutely, no question about that. All Reform people and Nigel Farage can rightly, legitimately enjoy their win. No doubt about it. One other thing to say then is about one small corner of East Anglia, of Norfolk, in Great Yarmouth. Where Great Yarmouth first, Rupert Lowe's organisation stood in all those nine wards. I was down there, literally down there yesterday evening, and word on the street was that they're set to win at least six or seven of those, if not all nine. So it's only a small, one small little corner of England, because that was all that was physically, kind of logistically possible for Restore at that moment, at this moment in time, because they are so new. It was just never realistic for a Restore to have stood all over the country to vet enough people to do that. Next time, there's more next year, more local elections next year. So next year, we'll see. But so a little, almost like an experiment in Rupert Lowe's backyard. You know, he is the MP for Great Yarmouth, the honourable member for Great Yarmouth. And yeah, word on the street is that it seems that they'll do very well there. Can that play out across the country, even at a general election? Does the message resonate with people? We shall see. We can only see, right? We'll only have to wait and see. All right. So that's sort of the main thing that's going on. Look, live. It's still live going on. We are live. Early English council results show reform gains and Labour losses as counting yet to begin. Even yet to begin in Scotland and Wales and a number of other places. I think in Great Yarmouth, the counting wasn't set to begin until about now, I heard. About 8 a.m. So... And the numbers aren't gigantic. Like in general elections, quite often, it will be tens of thousands of votes that need to be counted. Here it will be, it's more like a couple of thousand in most wards, sometimes less even. So the actual physical process of counting will be a lot quicker. But nonetheless, there's still loads of results yet to come in. All right, okay. And then the next thing, though, as the front pages show, look, time for Starmer to stand aside. So already, immediately, the knives are out. I mean, on ITV News, Labour suffer losses and Reform make gains in early election results. The Daily Mail, yeah. Starmer's nightmare comes true as Labour takes a local election battering from Reform in Heartlands. As Farage boasts, it proves he will storm number 10. No, it doesn't. Doesn't prove that at all. I'm afraid. It's a good indication. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's a good bellwether and such things. But general elections and local elections are very, very different beasts, to be perfectly honest. It's not just like Restore cope coming from me there. They really are. Different parties perform very, very differently at a general election and at local elections. A lot will change in the next 2.5-3 years before the next general election, if Starmer doesn't call an early general election, which isn't completely unfeasible. People always also read too much into by-elections and local elections. People always make the argument that whatever happened in that last by-election or that last round of local elections, that is what's going to play out at a general election. Not always the case, quite often not the case. But nonetheless, you can see why, for political reasons, you can see why Reform and Nigel would say this. Why not? Why not try to capitalise on the good news, the momentum, all that sort of thing? Don't blame them. Don't blame them. Anyone would. That's party politics, isn't it? But it proves he will storm to number 10. No, doesn't prove it. Okay. Keir's nightmare comes true. Again, here's just another graph. Slightly, maybe slightly more. Easy to see. You know, the Tories as well. I think that's great. Kemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, somehow finds herself LARPing as the leader of the opposition. But the Tories are not doing well. Like, she hasn't galvanised support, has she? She's not the answer the Tory party needed after that terrible 14 years and the complete car crash that was the Boris wave, Liz Truss interregnum, and then the Rishi debacle. They needed something new and amazing, really. I don't know what they would need. There's something amazing sort of come back from that. She doesn't seem to be it, does she? Doesn't seem to be it. Most people, I think, other than actual Tory party apparatchiks, they're not dying to see Kemi Badenoch as the Prime Minister, are they? No one's like, give us Kemi Badenoch. We must have her to lead our country forward into a new life. Right. It was crazy after everything. After Rishi. The Conservative Party chose Olu Kemi Badenoch. Weird. Independence down, as I say, down a bit more. And Greens. Some people were thinking that Greens might do really well, that there's people flooding away from Labour, and they're flooding away from Labour to the left and the right. Some people were saying, you know, Green people were hoping, saying that, yeah, sure, loads of the Labour voters and Conservative voters were flooding away to the right, i.e. to reform. Reform isn't right, is it? It's the same uni party, globalist containment nonsense, nonetheless. As far as the normie paradigm goes, they're moving to the right if they start voting to reform, or reform. Some thought that maybe a lot of them would leave to the left, i.e. Greens, basically. Not so much, a bit, but not so much. If this trend plays out, which it probably will. The idea that loads and loads of Labour supporters, if they've had enough with Labour, for whatever reason, that their natural home will just be somewhere to the left. You know, whether it is Lib Dem, Green, or one of the other much, much smaller lefty parties, Socialist Workers' Party or something. Well, it doesn't seem to be playing out in any on any large, particular scale there, does it? Yeah, a little Lib Dem picked up a bit. Green picked up a bit. But, you know, there were some fears. Sometimes you'll be able to see fearmongers even, before today, saying, like, you know, the Greens are like some sort of giant steamroller, some beer moth, that like Zach Polanski, real name David Paulden, will become Prime Minister next time. You know, they're like an unstoppable force. All the young people see him as like the new hope or something. Nah, not really. It's mostly, the story is just mostly a move from Labour straight to reform. Now, I think that bodes well for Restore, really, ultimately, if you sort of zoom out as a bit of a meta point, that people, if they are going to leave the centre, not that the current Labour Party is centrist, they are lefty, they are lefties, aren't they? But if the general trend, the general movement, is away from the so-called centre, it's largely to the so-called right. No, it's not even particularly split down the middle. It's almost entirely to the, quote-unquote, right. Well, that bodes well for Restore, or any parties on the right, to the right of the Conservatives, to the right of Labour, Lib Dem. If that's the direction of travel, put it that way. That's a turn of phrase gets used a lot, doesn't it? That's the direction of travel. Well, then good. It's just a most general overarching kind of a point. Good. Thank heaven. Right. And then the knives are out. What was it in? Let's have a look at, I think in the Express they had all sorts on this. Yeah, look, the Express. Reforms Nadeem Zuhari, a complete Tory traitor that Nigel somehow, for some reason, welcomed with open arms into reform. Nadeem Zuhari reveals two things that must happen next to get rid of Keir Starmer. Everyone's just talking about what happens next to Sir Keir. Starmer bombshell was Miliband already, quote, in secret talks with PM to resign, quote. Right, David Lammy ridiculed over car crash Starmer analogy. I wish he hadn't said that. Let's just take that. Let's just take this one thing. I said yesterday, didn't I? And it's an old cliche, an old adage. You don't change horse midstream. You're riding a horse through a deep river. Don't change horse in the middle of that. That's crazy. That'd be suicidal. Well, he used the analogy. You don't change pilot mid-flight. Exactly the same thing, isn't it? And John McDonnell. God, I hate John McDonnell. he was going to be Corbyn's Chancellor of the Exchequer. He's now just a backbencher. A proper, true commie. You know, I call people commies a lot, but that aren't necessarily commies. They're just leftists. They're just socialists or something. But John McDonnell was truly, is truly some sort of actual communist. He said, this is his quote, "I wish he, Lammy, hadn't said that." He makes a point. Sometimes you do want to change the pilot mid-flight, though. Sometimes you will need to. The plane's falling out of the sky and nosediving or something. Might be best to put someone at the controls that can fly an aeroplane. I mean, it's just quibbling over analogies, but basically, the knives are out for Starmer. But Burnham isn't an MP. Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird, is still embroiled with her HMRC stuff, I believe. You know, Ed Miliband's had a shot. He's had his chance. He's been the leader of the Labour Party and failed categorically to win a general election. Right, Wes Streeting doesn't seem up to it and will lose his seat at the next general election, definitely, almost definitely. No one's really talking about Yvette Cooper, are they? No one's really genuinely talking about Shabana Mahmood. There's certainly no obvious heir apparent to Starmer. So, despite all the wranglings, all the rumblings behind the scenes, i.e. there's rumblings, there's no obvious person to coup him out of power and take over from him. We'll see how it plays out. Whether the Labour Party, the parliamentary Labour Party anyway, goes into some sort of full-blown meltdown over this or not, or whether they just kind of keep it together enough for the next few days, week or two, and Starmer, although heavily wounded again, just holds on just through dint of there's no one else. Realistically, no one else. All right, should we head back to the papers and see what else is in the news cycle this morning? What else have we got? Oh, that spy. So, the Daily Mail, pure globalist slop, trying to pretend it's something other than leftist, anti-Western, anti-white slop, and that's exactly what it is. The Daily Mail, disgusting. Home Office immigration official exposed as Chinese spy. He's one of two men guilty of surveilling dissidents for Beijing after landmark trial. A Chinese spy ring has been convicted, so the trial's done, they're convicted. It's not just alleged that. They're convicted of running, quote, shadow policing, quote, operations on British soil. It's cheeky, isn't it? That's very cheeky of them. Espionage, treason. In an unprecedented case that goes to the heart of the civil service, UK Border Force officer Peter Wei, his real name's like some long Chinese name, and he's put the word name Peter in there as well. Quite often get that. A Chinese person living in the West, in Britain, and they've called themselves Jeffrey or something. It's not their name, it's not their real name. They call themselves James. Something. No, call themselves Peter. No, their real name is a Chinese name. They just take on a Western name to seem less foreign and alien. Peter Wei, a retired Hong Kong police officer, Bill Yuen, spied on Chinese dissidents living in the UK and senior MPs who supported them. Just reporting back to the Chinese intelligence services. In a shocking breach of national security. Is it that shocking? Because we know this sort of stuff goes on all the time, but okay. The Mail deciding to pretend they're shocked. In a shocking breach of national security, Wei used his privileged access to Home Office databases to supply intelligence to the Chinese. Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they're doing massively. On dozens of different levels, all over the country, all over all the time. Don't try and tell me that it's not a worry, they're not a threat. Oh, the CCP doesn't affect me. Why are you telling me that they're a threat when they don't affect me in any way? Get real. Of course they do. Of course they do. Okay. This little story down the side. This woman. Her estranged husband took her two little dogs and had them put down. So she stabbed him. Jailed. Wife who snapped when husband put her dachshunds down. Okay. That's on in the news a bit today, that story, a few different places. I always think it's weird. If I was an editor, I just wouldn't go with, like, sort of, or very hardly ever, go with sort of an individual story like that. Just to generate a few clicks, sell a few papers. It's horrible, salacious, mildly interesting, but it's not national news, is it? It's just not. All right. The Telegraph, the Torygraph. Again, Dave Attenborough is now 100 years old. Right. There's Sir Keir Starling with his Jewish wife, pretending everything's all right. She's laughing it up. She's having a good time. China exploited work from home to spy on UK. Apparently that was part of an element of the whole thing. Because people work from home, work remotely, it was easier for them to sort of electronically spy on them, exactly what they're doing and stuff. As I understand, a lot of it is to do with Hong Kong. Civil servant used remote working policy to track Hong Kong dissidents in Britain. If anyone doesn't know, please don't be patronised if you do know all this. And this is just 101. How doesn't anyone know this? But Hong Kong is, you know, a little island just off the Chinese coast. And it belonged to Britain until, what, 1997, 1999, when we had to give it back, which we did. Chris Patton, Lord Patton, there was a whole little ceremony where we handed it back to the Chinese. It's now Chinese, it's now just fully a Chinese thing, Hong Kong. Well, they had some sort of independent government, didn't they? Semi-autonomous government and things, but over the years, ever since then, and increasingly so, the Chinese cracked down more and more on Hong Kong, trying to bring it completely in line with mainland China, i.e., that the CCP have just absolute 100% political dominance there. Part of that is conflict with Hong Kong dissidents, even if they're abroad, right? Classic thing for a repressive communist government. Like in the Soviet era, if you've got Russian expats living abroad that are critics of the Soviet regime, the Soviets might send people to those countries, wherever they are, to spy on you and perhaps even try to kill you. In fact, it's not even in the Soviet era, just in the modern Russian era. All different countries do all different stuff like this. So the Chinese are doing it with regard to Hong Kong, and that spills over on into our island. Great. Great. And yet open borders people, someone like Boris, will say Britain should just accept hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people from Hong Kong. It's just sort of our duty now to save them in some way from the CCP. I don't think so. If anything, if there's anyone from Hong Kong here that is some sort of worry for our safety and security and our civil society, send them back. Anything. All right. Andrew threatened by a man in balaclava. That's a story on a few of these front pages. We'll get to that. Someone chased Andrew Mountbatten, Andrew Saxe Coburg Gotha, Prince Andy, with a gun. Didn't shoot him or hurt him in any way, but okay, we'll get to some of the details of this. The Guardian, ooh. Too early for that. I'm too tired for that. My stomach's too empty for that. Criminals using photos on school websites to create abuse imagery. Are they? Head teachers advised to remove pupils' pictures after blackmail attempt. Dark, isn't it? A bit grim. Hey, there's more or less the same picture of Starmer and his missus. Two men guilty of spying for China. Okay, we've covered that, haven't we? The Daily Express. Oh, it's a good paper. You can read your Daily Express now. I'm being sarcastic. It's not a good paper. That's an Alan Partridge quote. Okay. It's as much globalist slop as all the rest. The Express. Former shadow cabinet colleague calls for PM to go after local elections disaster. It is time for Starmer to stand aside, proclaims Barry Gardner. Barry Gardner, who was in, I believe it said somewhere else, maybe somewhere else I read, he was a shadow under the Corbyn opposition. He was like a shadow international trade secretary. So he's been in shadow cabinet with Starmer before. Okay, the papers have, they found one particular MP who's prepared to stand up and just explicitly say, to yell from the rooftops, it's time for Starmer to stand aside. So they just print that front and centre. Fair enough. Fair enough. That's what they think. The Times, the venerable Times. Greg Davis lost loads of weight with that drug. Ozempic. Okay. Muslims' open letter calls for solidarity to curb anti-Semitism. Okay. PM urged by Miliband to set timeline for leaving, bid to avoid Labour civil war after local elections. It's this thing, I think I've mentioned it before, it's harking back to what happened when Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, the transition of power between Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. That was a very different time, a very different beast, a very, very different relationship between Tony Blair and Gordon Brown and Starmer and whoever's going to take over from it. It's just a completely different set of circumstances. Tony Blair had always promised Gordon Brown at some point he would stand aside as Prime Minister and let Gordon Brown be Prime Minister. That was some sort of pact or deal they had with themselves before 1997. And in the end, Gordon Brown and Gordon Brown's people painted Tony Blair and Tony Blair's people into a corner. It took him like 10 years to do it. Painted him into a corner bit by bit over a decade to the point where Tony Blair had to say, all right, there is going to be a day, a specific day, when I step aside as Prime Minister. They're sort of saying that, well, Miliband wants to do some, and others want to do, pull some similar trick on Starmer, but there isn't an heir apparent, and he never promised anyone he would do that. It's just not the same thing. All right. David Attenborough's 100. Chinese shadow police guilty of spying in UK. Okay, we've done that. The eye paper. David Attenborough's 100. All right, we got it. Okay, the blurb on the front page of the eye paper. It's usually about the best thing you get out of Fleet Street on any given day, isn't it? Secret meeting hits Rainer hope of becoming Prime Minister. They're saying now she's not the front runner. If the bookies, if you want to get odds from a bookie, she was sort of odds on favourite. Not anymore. Or the odds have shortened, at least. It says, Angela Rayner met key power broker in Sheffield 2 weeks ago to canvass support, but left city empty-handed. She's trying to drum up, obviously, anyone who wants to be leader, you need a big chunk of the parliamentary party to be behind you. Like at least, what is it, 70 or 90 at least, to sort of start triggering things. And realistically, you would want, well, as many as possible, to then be a shoo-in to win it. You probably want 150. Well, you want loads. You want as many as you possibly can. Angela the Fridge doesn't seem, Big Bird, doesn't seem to be able to muster quite that many, as many as she would hope. It says, support of 100 Labour MPs in soft left, quote, Tribune, quote, group. A cabal, a block within the Labour Party. The Tribune group. Good one. Will be crucial to any leadership candidate, with Mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, now considered frontrunner. That's weird, he's not an MP. No one's even stepped aside to trigger a by-election for him. And there's no credible evidence that the NEC committee in Labour would select him. And then is there any such thing as a Labour safe seat at the moment? Really? that he's a shoo-in just to win that by-election. So he's the front-runner, even though there's at least three things, three significant things standing between him. But he's the front-runner now. Well, that just shows, doesn't it? That just tells you how sort of chaotic things are. How Keir Starmer is benefiting from a dearth of talent in the Labour Party. Someone said, and I think it's a correct take, that that's the main reason why he's still Prime Minister. Is there's no deep bench below him of talent in the Labour Party. If there was anyone that was sort of charismatic and well-liked in the party and the nation at large, if sort of anyone, then he would be in trouble, would have been in trouble perhaps long before now. But there just isn't. What, Lammy or Rayner or Wes Streeting or weirdo freakazoid Ed Miliband? There just isn't anyone, is there? All right, you get it. The Financial Times. Here's Keir Starmer and his wife. Battle Station, Starmer faces voters' verdict. All right, and obviously something, not obviously, but something all about stocks and financial fragility from the Financial Times, a sort of thing you can expect. The Sun, going with something completely different. Kim Kardashian's boobs. The Sun, if you're only listening to this, The Sun's headline is, quote, Kim's boobs sprayed by car shop in Kent. Quote, that's their headline. And even though it's like a few days ago now, they've got a picture of her at the Met Gala wearing some crazy outfit. There you go. She's got like those extremely pointy 1950s, perhaps like Madonna, late 80s, early 90s Madonna era, really pointy boobs. There you go. That's the front page of The Sun. Oh yeah, and here's the other story. Armed threat to Andrew. So the story is, somewhere outside, I think it was Sandringham, the Sandringham Royal Estate. Like, at the front of it, I believe, from what I gathered, from what I've read this morning. At the front of that, Andrew was getting out of his car or something, and some other guy pulled up, wearing a balaclava and had a gun, and he, like, shouted abuse at Andrew and chased him a bit. But, like, security guards and or police very quickly apprehended him. He never shot at Andrew. I don't think he touched Andrew or anything. That happened. Andrew's completely unscathed physically. And the guy that did it has been arrested on, from what I gather from this morning anyway, relatively minor charges. Nothing like attempted murder or anything like that. But, you know, just like brandishing a weapon or something like that. I can't even remember the exact charges. Like being threatening, those sorts of charges. I was about to say it's a relatively minor thing. Maybe it's not. That could have been a guy with real murderous intent, couldn't it? Anyway, that happened. That happened. The Metro. Oh, God. Don't. Please don't. They've gone with something very different. First of all, something about women's football. Don't care about women's football. It's beneath contempt, women's football. It's not good. Don't tell me it's any good. It's not. The level of skill is minimal. Anyway, on the front page, they go with a very dark thing out of left field. On the day of local elections, sort of seismic local elections, they've decided to go with Pride of Limb Transplants Donor's Mum. I touched the hand that used to be my daughter's. I mean, interesting, remarkable advances in medical science, but a bit relentlessly grim, isn't it? Out of anything in the entire world you could report on. Anything. From Mr. Trump's war in the Straits of Hormuz to sort of a change in British politics, like once in a century level seismic change in British politics. No. Like, I guess this woman's daughter died and they transplanted her hand or arm onto this woman, and now she's met her and touched her hand. I mean, okay, that's the news, is it? Okay, thanks, Metro. I mean, the medical science part of it is remarkable, so that's good. Could report on anything in the world, though. Bring him in that. All right, the Daily Mirror, utter slop. some of the worst slop in recent times coming from the Mirror. Up there with the Star. They decide to go with the Andrew Sex Coburg Gotha story. Weapon threat to ex-prince. Andrew in masked man terror. He's yelled at and chased back to his car after walk near Sandringham home. I've told you the essential details of that. All right, the Star. They too go with the Sandringham threat. Andrew chased by a man in balaclava. Again, some small credit, just to reiterate. None of the results for the local elections were out when all this went to print. So there's a reason why they're not actually going with any of that. Although they could have, of course, reported on predictions of it. But, all right. There you go. They're the front pages today. They're the front pages. We had a poll, didn't we, Harry? Sorry, I'll let you bring that up for me. Okay, we asked you guys, is it time for Keir Starmer to stand aside? You remember that was like sort of one of the key things this morning. Look, there, bring that up, Harry, just so people arrive. Look, time for Starmer to stand aside. So we asked you, we just took that straight to the people. The glorious band, the chosen few, the best among us. Oh, very good turnout. Just shy of 2,300 votes. In fact, it's just ticked over. Oh, it's just ticked out. It's just ticked over 2,300 votes. Not bad. Not a bad cross-section of people there. Good, good, good. Right, we asked you, is it time for Keir Starmer to stand down? The ayes have it. 78% of you say yes. 22% say no. So, I mean, if I was taking that up, I would have clicked yes. Whether he will is a different story. We just said, is it time for that? We asked you, is it time for that? It is, isn't it? 78%. And the ayes have it. There you go. Good. Thanks for voting. Thanks for being in the chat. Thanks for watching. Oh, it's the 100th show today. I didn't say that. I was supposed to say that at the top of the show. This is show number 100 of the Bow Show. 100 episodes. That went quick, didn't it? How's that possible? Yeah, this is the 100th show. So there you go. Nice turnout there for it. And, I'm supposed to mention. Super, super quick chill. There's some more Breakfast with Bo merch. Sort of in celebration of it in some way, if you're interested in that. Okay. I'm going to spend too much time on it. I'm not particularly comfortable shilling. It's part of my job, but... Oh, like and subscribe as well. I never really say that, do I? You're watching this on the YouTubes. Consider liking and subscribing. Get that bell on. Smash the bell. We appreciate it, though. If you do any of those things, we would appreciate it. It does help the algo. All right, have we got any other stories? Let's have a look at a quick few other stories. Oh, here's one. It's just another story for the day. Mark Hamill. Remember? Years ago, over 40 years ago, he played Luke Skywalker. His politics are mad. He's got TDS. That's that classic thing. If you criticise Trump in any way, you've got TDS. If you back him up in any way, you're like pro-Israel. Well, anyway. Or you can just call it how you see it. Criticise him sometimes and back him up sometimes, but... Mark Hamill's really got TDS, acute TDS, like a bad terminal case of it. Here we go, the headline says, White House calls Mark Hamill sick individual for Trump grave post. So this is what he did. They've got it here. Here we go, look. Mark Hamill, I don't know if he personally generated this AI image, but again, if you're only listening to this, there's an AI image of Trump with his eyes closed, you can only imagine dead, because at his head is a gravestone that says Donald J. Trump, 1946 to 2024. That's weird that you put 2024, but okay, all right. Well, with daisies, pushing up daisies, it's obviously supposed to be a dead Trump. And then, so, Mark Hamill, mediocre actor. He's not a bad actor, is he? Not a terrible actor. He can carry a film, just about. He's not a brilliant actor. I rewatched A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi not too long ago. 6 weeks ago, a month ago or something. He's not that great. He's not an amazing actor. Anyway, he posted on Blue Sky. It was on Blue Sky. That tells you quite a lot, doesn't it, already. So over the top of the picture of an AI-generated picture of a dead Trump pushing up daisies, he put, if only. Then he wrote, he should live long enough to witness his inevitable devastating loss in the midterms. He held, be held accountable for his unprecedented corruption, impeached, convicted, and humiliated for his countless crimes. Long enough to realise he'll be disgraced in the history books forevermore. Hashtag Don the Con. Mark Hamill, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Hamill. Bit tedious, isn't it? Little bit rampant tedious. I'm less of a fan of Donald J. Trump than I used to be. But that's sort of... For example, I despise Keir Starmer, right? Obviously, if you watch The Bow Show, you know that. Despise him, an enemy of the state, an enemy of the people. Traitor. I still wouldn't make it. I still wouldn't do a post like that. Do an AI. In fact, I'll probably might go to prison in Britain for doing something like that. But I still wouldn't generate an AI picture of Keir Starmer pushing up daisies and then write something like that. All right. So anyway, Mark Hamill did that, and the White House themselves, basically, anyway, White House say Mark Hamill is one sick individual. They make the fair point, I think, absolutely reasonable and fair point. They say, these radical left lunatics just can't help themselves. Pardon me. Radical left lunatics can't help themselves. This kind of rhetoric is exactly what has inspired three assassination attempts in 2 years against our president. Yeah, where's the lie in that? It is, isn't it? All right, that's just one story. One other story that's not the local elections this morning and the Chinese spies. There is more going on in the Straits of Hormuz as well. I mean, looking, it's gone quarter two, but there is more going on in the Straits of Hormuz. In fact, the Iranians and the Americans exchanged fire in the Straits of Hormuz. According to accounts, the Iranians did fire missiles and drones at US warships. The US shot everything out of the sky before it hit any of their ships. And then the Americans, they blew up they fired back a bit beyond that. They blew up some jetty or, they blew up some stuff on one of those islands right in the Straits of Hormuz. And Trump called it a love tap. He said, you better make a deal fast. We're trying to make a deal here. Make it fast. More saber rattling and things. So all that's still going on. Just for Britain, the local elections is the much bigger thing in the news cycle at the moment. All right. Let's move on then. Should we do On This Day in History? Well, look, if you didn't know, by the way, before we do that, Prince William, the Prince of Wales, will be king, supports Villa, Aston Villa, Birmingham Football Club. And they won a match, which means they'll get to the final of the Europa League. Not bad for Villa, to be honest. There we go, look, he's actually a human being who celebrates football a bit. That's news. On this day in history, down through the centuries or even the millennia, on this day in history, the 8th of May, what happened of note? Should you have a quick 5 minutes of that at the end of the show? You guys seem to like that. I like it. Okay, on the 8th of May, in the year 1660, English Parliament proclaims Charles II, King of England, and invites him to return. So the restoration of the monarchy, basically, after the interregnum of Oliver Cromwell, and then Richard Cromwell, Queen Dick, and then General Monk, and then Charles II, the restoration. I've got some content talking all about that. I did, a while ago, I did a conversation largely about the restoration. certainly when I get up to it in my Epoch series all about the monarchy, I'm still only on Henry the Seventh, Henry Tudor at the moment. I'll do it all in fantastic detail at some point. Don't you worry about that. On this day, in 1835, first instalment of Hans Christian Andersen's Fairy Tales is published in Copenhagen, in Denmark. Yeah, of course, a staple of childhood stories, Hans Christian Andersen. On this day, in 1895, China cedes Taiwan to Japan. Formosa, now called Taiwan, to Japan. Under the Treaty of Shimonoseki. I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly, aren't I? But yeah, the story of sort of the second half, last quarter of the 19th century, and of course all of the 20th century, the story of the tensions and various wars between China and Japan. Haven't got time to go into it all here. But of course, find the paywall, lotusseeds.com for as little as £5 a month. You consider signing up for an entity membership. I've got at least one very long form piece of content all about, I called it the Road to Pearl Harbor, which is a deep dive, quite a thorough deep dive into a look at Japan through the 19th century all the way up to December 7th, 1941 in Pearl Harbor. Of course, I'll talk about their relationship with China. It's a key part of it. If you want a couple of hours of me talking about that or more, is it? It's there. It's on the website. £5 a month. Over 260 episodes of Epochs now. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of me talking about history. It's not a bad deal. As well as hundreds of hours of other content as well. All right, on this day, 1902, Mount Pelée, am I pronouncing that correctly? Probably not. On the French overseas island of Martinique erupts, wiping out the city of Saint-Pierre, killing 30,000 people and leaving only two survivors. Bad one, isn't it? Bad one. Martinique. I know it's glib and easy to say, but probably don't live on the slopes of an active volcano. Words to the wise. If I could give advice, do you live on the slopes of an active volcano? Consider moving. All right, on this day, 1945, VE Day. It is VE Day, Victory in Europe Day. World War II ends in Europe after Germany's general, Wilhelm Keitel, formally signs unconditional surrender to the Allies, represented by the United States, the UK, France and the Soviet Union in Berlin. Germany signs an unconditional surrender. I think I said yesterday, because they went with the surrender of the Germans in the West yesterday, under Jodl. I said yesterday, wasn't it Admiral Dönitz that signed the unconditional surrender? I thought it was, but they're saying it was Keitel there. It might have been both, but either way. The end of the war in Europe, victory in Europe, VE Day, 8th of May. On this day, 1980, World Health Organization announces smallpox has been eradicated, which is great. Smallpox. All throughout human history, the pox, various types of pox, but largely smallpox, has been an absolute horror. Untold numbers of people have died in terrible, terrible misery and pain from smallpox, from the pox, down through the millennia. It was almost or largely eradicated. It's not actually 100% eradicated, is it? Largely, almost entirely eradicated. Great thing. That we don't live in a world where that's something particularly you need to worry about. All right, on this day in 2007, a new Northern Ireland executive is formed with Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness as deputy First Minister. So yeah, hopefully bringing a close to, you know, Ian Paisley, arch unionist, Martin McGuinness, arch nationalist, Sinn Féin, arch Republican. Hasn't really worked out brilliantly. I mean, it's largely stopped the violence, hasn't it? Almost entirely, though not entirely. There was a car bomb just the other day, wasn't there, in Northern Ireland? But it hasn't been that government, that Northern Irish executive, doesn't function that well, does it? If at all, quite often. Okay, and on this day last year, 2025, that American cardinal became the 267th Pope. Pope Leo the 14th. There you go. That happened this 1 year ago today. All right. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Okay. First of all, then, the Rumble Rants. Global Church History in a number one. Of course he is. You can't stop him. You've got to get up real early in the morning, literally, to get in before Global Church History. Cheers, buddy. Appreciate the dedication. Absolutely love it. Thank you. True super fan. You say, on this day in 589 AD, King St. Recared of the Iberian Visigoths convened the Third Council of Toledo to enter communion with Rome and the wider Nicene Church, or Nicene Church. I don't know a fantastic amount about that, but I am aware of that sort of thing. The Iberian Visigoths in the late 6th century. I know about it, but I don't know about it in fantastic detail. But obviously it's important for it being Catholic. It's important for all the centuries to come, right? With the conquests of the Islamic hordes and then the Reconquista and everything else. The second little on this day in history you give, I know a great deal more about, you say, on this day in 1450, Jack Cade's Rebellion began. Cade's Rebellion. I'll talk about that in fantastic detail. Yeah. In fact, I've just finished the Wars of the Roses. The last handful of epochs, the last half a dozen, maybe more, has been about the reigns of Richard III, Edward IV, Henry VI. The Wars of the Roses. And Jack Cade's Rebellion is right at the beginning of that, when Henry VI is still undisputed king. And although Jack Cade, he marched around, he had a very, very small army, 200 odd knights or something, so barely an army, but armed retainers, marched on London, entered London, didn't really mean to start ransacking it and pillaging it and looting it, but his men just did. Eventually the people of London rose up and kicked him out. But anyway, the point is, and he wasn't 100% a Yorkist, he wasn't sort of explicitly like a Yorkist partisan, but it was essentially an action that completely benefited the Yorkists. The king, Henry VI, was a Lancastrian, so it's sort of a precursor and sort of an opening scene in the Wars of the Roses, before the Wars of the Roses had really kicked off. Cade's Rebellion, again, talk all about it in detail on Epochs, if you're so inclined to pay £5 a month to get behind that paywall. All right. Thank you, Global Church History. Next, for Tim Barber, another super fan. Thank you, sir. You say, good morning, mate. Morning. What a day, exclamation mark. The USA is supposed to be disclosing aliens at 8 a.m. Eastern. I'll be looking out for that. Was that you like set? Is it 7? I never remember. Oh, I should know this off the top of my head by now. 7 or 8 hours ahead, so this afternoon, UK time. Okay, I will be keeping my beady eye on that one. You also say Labour rook a tank. Oh, it must be Labour took a tanking. Great Yarmouth first. May have done the job in the elections. What a time to be alive. Yeah. Also, of course, waiting for the results to come in Great Yarmouth to see if they got a clean sweep of all 9. Or if they got none. It's unlikely. It looks like that does seem very unlikely. But we'll see. Those results are yet to come in. Okay, thanks for Tim Barber. TomRat247 says, prediction. Starmer will only leave when he's achieved whatever objectives he had to get his sinecures from the Davos network. My guess is EU rule-taking at the Whitehall level. Possibly. Quite possibly. If that's exactly what happens and what plays out, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Who knows, of course, exactly. But that's a believable scenario, isn't it? Yep. Matthew C., another superfan. Cheers, Matthew. Cheers, Matthew. The last two are you, of the Rumble Rants. You say, held my nose and voted Reform, having decided to go against my accelerationist instincts. If Nigel is still doing cameos, might ask him for a shout out to Big Chungus. Yeah, number of funny things there. Yeah, me and also Nate on our other channel were asked, like, what would we do? We said, either spoil your ballot, abstain, or vote Reform, because it's still the best of the rest, and Reform councillors might, somewhere over the next 2.5-3 years, flip to Restore, so worth it for that. So, I don't blame you at all. And, yeah, apparently Nige isn't doing cameos anymore. Shame. There's a moment in time. End of an era. Yeah, I saw actually this morning where he took, do you remember he took £5 million as just a gift from a crypto millionaire or billionaire even? Just took £5 million as a gift. Apparently there's nothing wrong with that. Richard Tice, Dicey Ticey, saying Nigel can't be bought. He could be bought for £70 on Cameo. So what are you talking about? Of course he can. Of course. Like Nigel's above any of that sort of thing. Doubt it. Okay, Nigel C also says, the video of Keitel signing the surrender is on YouTube. His face noticeably drops halfway through when he realises he won't be allowed to go home, having surrendered like a, quote, surrendered like a gentleman, quote. Yeah. Yeah, gonna have to be put on trial for that. You lost, so. Or does Curtis LeMay go on trial? Nope. Bomber Harris? Nope. That's how it works. That's just how it works. All right. Should we, Harry, can you bring up the YouTube ones for me? There you go. Oh, there's quite a few today. There's quite a few today. And a big turnout in the poll. We've got, is it quite a good day for viewers, Harry?
Oh, it is, yeah.
Sweet. People tuning in perhaps to see the results. Maybe even the Great Yarmouth results. Afraid we haven't got them yet. I'll be talking all about it on Monday morning, though. Don't you worry about that. All right, here we go. Let's whip through them a little bit. Mr. Dickie Bingo, another super fan. How are you this morning, sir? Not Mr. Dickie Bingo. No, it is Mr. Dickie Bingo. Not Mr. Dinky Bingo. Dickie Bingo. Get it right, Bo. Come on. You say there, just happy 100th, lads. Cheers, buddy. Cheers. It's our 100th birthday. The C note. Cha-ching. All right. Thanks, Mr. Dickie Bingo. Cheers. The next one, the K-Man Live says, went to my first Restore branch meeting. Great vibes. Everyone normal, sensible and aligned. Gives real hope. Love Bo's Breakfast Club, the real BBC. Who needs Mike Graham or Jez Kyle? Quite. And then an emoji of someone being sick. Yeah. I concur with everything you've said there and all the sentiments. Yeah. For example, the people in Great Yarmouth, the Restore people. Yeah, really normal, sensible people. Just don't want to see their country utterly destroyed by leftists and communists and traitors and fifth columnists. That's all. They just don't accept that they must have an out-group preference only. Not evil. In the years to come, they will try and paint us as evil Nazis, bigots, all that stuff. But no. We're just British people, English people, that don't want to be demographically replaced, ultimately annihilated in our one and only ancestral homeland, become a hated and marginalised minority in our own land, and then ultimately wiped out entirely. Don't want to see England, Britain, turned into a Yugoslavian nightmare. Is that too much to ask? Apparently it is. But you love Bo's Breakfast Club? Bo's Breakfast Club? Of course you do. What's not to love? It's brilliant. It's the most based breakfast show, isn't it? I mean, that's not even just me mucking about and playing around with hyperbole and blowing my trumpet. It's a statement of fact that this is the most based takes you'll get at breakfast time. Fairly easily, isn't it? I don't have to try to outbase Mike Graham or Jeremy Kyle. They're milquetoast weaklings, aren't they? They're nothing. They're sort of nothing in terms of base takes. Not in terms of the scales. AC1D Helm says, said no to poll as Restore needs the 3 years to build. What exactly was our poll again, Harry? Can you bring it up for me? Didn't we ask about Keir Starmer? Is it time for Starmer to stand aside? Okay, I see what you mean. Doesn't necessarily... I see what you're saying. I see exactly what you're saying. But Starmer standing aside doesn't necessarily mean a general election. It might mean that. I think he has threatened, at least behind closed doors, to call a snap general election. In which case, what you've said there, AC1D Helm, is exactly right. But it may just be he stands aside so that someone else in Labour becomes a leader and there's not actually a general election. But fair point anyway, if he did call a snap general election, it's too early for Restore, isn't it? You're making that point, which is a perfectly valid point. All right, thank you. Something Wickedly says, no ID required in Scotland to vote. Not ideal, is it? Oh, is that Shona? Thanks, Shona. Yeah, not ideal, is it? So all the Bomalians that have been allowed in up there, they get a vote. Great. Okay, Ezek86 says, are the Great Yarmouth results in yet? No, I'm afraid not. Also, unironic, no vote on Starmer standing down. He needs to absolutely destroy public opinion on Labour and become the last elected Labour MP. That's a fair little bit of accelerationism there. I totally understand your point. I said before, I'm not a defeatist. I deny defeatism. A little bit of accelerationism. I'm largely not an accelerationist either, but a little bit. My accelerationism is at like a 2 out of 10 or out of 11. I'm at a 2. I don't completely reject. Some of it is possibly necessary still, isn't it? So I see your point and you may well be right. You may well be perfectly right. You know, never interrupt an enemy when they're making a mistake. It does come at the cost of our country, though. But, yeah, maybe you're right, though. Maybe you're right. That is sort of the grander strategic thinking. Yeah. You may well be right. Okay. Something Wickedly again says, would you rather be sticky or itchy? I don't know about that. I don't know if there's any sort of subtext there, but if there's not, sticky. Being itchy is horrible, isn't it? It's like almost like torture. Okay. Faux Hammers, spelt with all different letters and numbers in there. I think it's like Faux Hammers. Says, done my part in Wales, voted the Heritage Party. Oh, fair enough. Or is that as David Curtin, isn't it? Heritage Party? I thought they were still... I wasn't sure they were even still going, but one of the much, much more smaller right of centre parties there, Heritage. Fair enough, good, if that's what your heart said for you to do. Well done. Okay. No name Jack 401 for a half decent amount of money there, thank you very much, sir. Says, my grandparents were from the UK. It was my dream to have dual citizenship, but I'm not brown, so it wouldn't be easy. And I'd be arrested already. And it's dollars. Is that American dollars or Aussie dollars? I think US dollars. And you say, at least you're heading in the right direction. Oh, cheers from Phoenix, Arizona. Cheers, buddy. Appreciate that. Phoenix, Arizona. Is that one of the hottest places on earth, Phoenix, Arizona? Isn't Phoenix, Arizona statistically one of the hottest large cities in the world? Amazing. Anyway, amazing. Thanks for watching. It still does blow my mind when people say, I'm watching from somewhere a long, long way from Wiltshire. Somewhere on the other side of the world from the West Country of England. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the money. We really do appreciate it. Keeps the lights on. Makes a difference. Thank you. Christian 3698 says, I like turtles. And a little turtle emoji picture thing. Thank you. Did I do it right? Did I do the voice right? I like turtles. Turtles. Okay. Yogi Big House 1 says, what's happening with Rupert? I'm from Australia, so I don't know. Well, he's hoping, well, you're Great Yarmouth first, hoping to win the council there. That's what's happening with him. didn't actually get to see him yesterday in person, but saw all the other, pretty much all the other main players in the party. But Rupert himself was, because tonight really will be, hopefully anyway, the celebration night. So that's what's going on with him at the moment, hoping to get a local victory. Something Wickedly again says, Rupert will get Yarmouth, Kemi should go home. Fair. Fair point. Her ancestral homeland, you mean, Nigeria. Yeah. Something Wickedly again says, all Labour women look like Rose West. There's a touch of the Rose West about loads of Labour female MPs, aren't there? Whether it's the hair or whether it's the psychosis in the eyes. Something, isn't it? You're right. Okay, Jack Stretch Jones, 1430, doesn't say anything and just gives £2. So thanks for that. Appreciate that. Cheers. There's still a fair few more here. Quite a few more. So I have to whip through them a bit because I'm on the podcast as well today. I'm supposed to be on the afternoon podcast. So I've got to sort my segment out for that. So there's quite a few more. Let me whip through them, unfortunately, a bit. Gavin Ziegler says, in Wales, Plaid are going to do well. Plaid, however you pronounce that. By Cymru. Strange, though. Nationalists who believe in open borders. Obsessed with both culture, retention and erosion. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah. How the Scottish Nationalist Party aren't national. They're open borders. The Welsh Nationalists are open borders. The Irish Nationalists are open borders. Weird. It's weird. Yeah, they really want to protect their own culture and languages and stuff and import an uncapped number of people, uncapped, from anywhere in the world. Weird. Okay, Yogi House one again says, is that Keir, if that Keir Starmer gets booted from office, I buy some Timothy Taylor pale ale, mark my words, and celebrate beer like $12. In Australia. Okay, good, yeah. Have a beer, celebrate it. Break open a bottle of champers. Yeah, do. The MMA guru doesn't say anything and just gives £10. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much, sir. The MMA guru. Something Wickedly again says, the fridge stopped wearing my grand's curtains. Yeah, Angela the Fridge Rainer, Big Bird's dress sense is... I mean, some people might say my ensemble is a bit much. Harry? Go to the other... There you go. Some people might criticise my dress sense. Many more people criticise Angela Rayner's dress sense. Shona thinks she looks like she's wearing her grand's curtains. Yeah. Dodgy shoes. Mr. Dickie Bingo says... Nice merch, but for tea, the inner colour of a cup must be white. Okay, noted. Have a good kip later, Bo. Oh, yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed early tonight. Shattered. Looking forward to TESOP coverage of the circus next week. Thank you. Stay in politics. Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Dickie Bingo. Cheers, sir. Little Tesla 9733 says, happy 100 show, my Bosif, from your favourite, day one, smiley face. Thank you. Appreciate that. It did go quickly, didn't it? 100. Harry, how do you feel? You've been there since the beginning.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a bit of an achievement, isn't it? A bit of a body of work already.
Yeah, it's crazy.
When you do something every day, they add up quick, don't they? 100. And here's to 100 more. 1,000 more. Why not? Why not? 10,000 more. Let's not get carried away. All right, great. But thank you very much there. 00 Stefan says, morning. Would you do a podcast or interview with Neil Oliver? I would love to. I'm a massive Neil Oliver fan. Over the years, like over the previous 5 years or so, I've been in contact with him on and off. I think he follows me on Twitter. I certainly follow him. And I think he does. We've had either DM exchange or email exchanges, and he said he would come on once or twice, and then it just hasn't happened. And I don't know. There's a few people like David Starkey and a few others, Jeremy from The Quartering, was going to have them on, and for whatever reason, just didn't happen. It's actually not always easy, but I would love to chat to Neil Oliver. Proper fan. Honestly, there's not that many people in the world I would just fanboy over, right? A dozen at most in the whole world. Neil Oliver's one of them. I think he's great. I really do. Some of his rants are pure quality. Pure quality. A man of substance and integrity. Neil Oliver, let's do it. Okay. Lone Wolf and Cub 668 says, Hadrian did nothing wrong. You can only possibly be talking about making a wall in the north of England. That's what you're referring to. That. Those who know. Phil Marshall, Dawn Browning, quite doesn't say anything but 10 Aussie bucks, cheers, and a thumbs up emoji. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, love. Appreciate it. Another super fan there. Brilliant stuff. Okay, and we've got three more. Aristotle Luton says, thoughts on John Terry? Football has gone wokey. I'm aware that he's like said some mildly based things recently, isn't he? I think. I might be wrong about that. I don't follow John Terry at all, but I'm aware of that. As for a footballer, he was really good, wasn't he? He was great. He captained Chelsea through some of their best times. And England captain. Not so great as England captain, but still good. He was a very, 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 very good footballer, wasn't he? But as for his politics, I believe, isn't he sort of a bit like Matt Le Tissier, where he's based, I think? Am I wrong about that? I don't follow him closely. I reckon I've got a long-form interview with Matt Le Tissier talking all about late 80s and 1990s football. With football legend Matthew Le Tissier. One of the greatest, if not arguably statistically the greatest penalty taker of all time. Of all time, Matt Le Tissier. He's better than Messi, better than Cristiano Ronaldo, statistically, at taking penalties. Southampton and England's Matt Le Tissier. Do you think they've got a long form conversation with me and him? Oh yeah. It's there. I wouldn't mind having a conversation with John Terry. That'd be cool. I doubt he'd come on, but who knows? John Terry, if you see this, the invite's open. Come talk to me about politics. About how crap women's football is, yeah? We'll listen to you here. We'll give you a fair hearing here. In fact, I'll heartily agree with you. If that's one of your takes, I don't even know. But, all right, let's move on. All right, last two. VixGB says, congratulations on your 100th, Bowen Harry. Thank you. Appreciate it. Based, entertaining and informative way to start the morning. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Brilliant. Thank you. It is. You won't find based takes in the morning. You won't. And the final one. Oh. Field Marshal Dawn Browning Hoyt has sent $100. Thank you. I think that's a record, isn't it, Harry? We haven't had anything bigger than that, have we?
Yeah, by far.
Well, yeah. Dawn. Oh. Thank you. Wow. And you say 100th. With like smiley party faces and stuff. 100th. Well done, Bo. Get that other chap a nice guitar pick. Is that you, or should you mean Big Harry? Because Big Harry plays guitar, doesn't he, famously? He's an actual guitarist. He's really good, Big Harry. I mean, genuinely can shred professionally. Good. He's that good. Maybe Dawn's talking about get him a guitar pick. But Dawn, $100. Wow. Thank you very much. And that was the last one. What a way to end the 100th Bow Show. What a hire to end it on. Thank you. Thank you so much. God, really appreciate it. Lovely. I'm flattered. I really am flattered. All right, that's the show. It's 19 minutes past 9 in the AM British summertime on Friday the 8th of May in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been a very, very great audience, a big audience today and everything, interacting all over the show. Love it. You're the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. Without you, it's nothing. Nothing without you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Try and make the best of the day ahead and indeed the weekend ahead if you can. It's not always easy when you're grown up. You've got loads of responsibilities. If you have got any free time, try and make the best of it. Carpe diem, seize the day. It's the most valuable thing you will ever have. By far. By far. Try and make it count if you can. All right, I don't want to get too preachy. Until Monday morning then. Take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.